Gopi jana balaba jaya giri varadhari jaya giri varadhari. Jayo Radha Madhava Jayo Kunja Bihari. Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana 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 Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jayam Vishnupada Parabhansa Pribrojakachari Stutarasata Shishimad, His Divine Grace La A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Shila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON Founder Acharya Shila Prabhupada Ki, Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki, Nama Acharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki, Premsego Hosri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki, Shishi Radha Krishna Gaur Gopagopina Shamakunda Radha Kunigiri Govardhana Ki, Shri Vrindavan Dhamaki, Shri Mayapur Dhamaki, Ganga Maiki, Jamura Maiki, Bhakti Deviki, Tulasi Deviki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrindaki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Vidyayalika Vishrambham Agyeshu Tyakta Sauridha Navam Navam Abhipsyantya Pumschalya Svaira Vritaya Vidyayalika Vishrambham Agyeshu Tyakta Sauridha Navam Navam Abhipsyantya Pumschalya Svaira Vritaya Vidyayalika Vishrambham Agyeshu Tyakta Sauridha Navam Navam Abhipsyantya Pumschalya Svaira Vritaya. Vidyaya. By establishing. Alika. False. Vishrambham. Faithfulness. Agyeshu. Unto the foolish men. Tyakta Sauridaha. Who have given up the company of well-wishers. Navam nu. Navam nu. Apishyantya. Desiring. Pumschalya. Women very easily allured by other men. Svaira. Independently. Vritaya. Professional. Translation. Women are very easily seduced by men. Therefore, polluted women give up the friendship of a man who is their well-wisher and establish false friendship amongst fools. Indeed, they seek newer and newer friends, one after another. Purport. Because women are easily seduced, the Manusamhita enjoins that they should not be given freedom. A woman must always be protected, either by her father, by her husband, or by her elder son. If women are given freedom to mingle with men like equals, which they now claim to be, they cannot keep their propriety. The nature of a woman, as personally described by Urvasi, is to establish false friendship with someone and then seek new male companions, one after another, even if this means giving up the company of a sincere well-wisher. So the basic principle that we're dealing with here is that the living entity is trying to enjoy on their own separately from the Lord. So this position then is very unfortunate for the living entity, because then they become controlled by the modes of nature. And depending upon their position, on what work they've done, then the particular gross bodies that they get and the subtle nature that goes along with that, then will be constantly switching from one species to another, from male to female, all these different things. So we see here in the ultimate sense, then the living entity, even though the Lord is in the heart, he goes along with the living entity wherever they go. So he's the actual well-wisher. The living entity doesn't really care for that. They're more interested in what they can do with the senses, what facility they can get, what kind of position they can get, what they can get for themselves out of it, with leaving the Lord with the Lord not in the picture. So this unfortunate situation just goes on and on and on. And as everything's coming from the Lord, then we see that there's the constant aspects that the same formulas will be working. So just as the living entity leaves the Lord with the idea of external arrangements and pleasures and facility, then we see here in the material world, the living entity continues that mentality. And then that continues down into the various species of life. And then between this dynamic, the cultural aspect, this dynamic of the male-female principle. So it's just the same problem. And the solution is only one, Krishna consciousness. Of course, you can look at this just from the cultural aspect. But then if we want to look at it from the cultural aspect, one, you have to have men who are well-wishers. So that means they're trained. You have to have the women who are then properly trained. They are comfortable in a position of the mode of goodness. So in other words, the men and women are trained to establish themselves culturally in the mode of goodness. So in that position of mode of goodness, then one performs things out of duties, and then out of duties, then basically these problems don't come up. These problems come up more when you get into the passion and ignorance. So on the platform of goodness, basically, things will run nicely. Problem with the material mode of goodness is that it has some mix of passion and ignorance in it. It's not pure, so there may come up something. But depending on the mood, the situations, and all this, you can generally avoid. So that's a natural position. the only difficulty comes up is that that requires the mode of goodness. And then requiring the mode of goodness then is a nature. And so you either are developing it from devotional service because one doesn't have it, or one already naturally has that. One's born into a family that the mode of goodness is prominent. They're following all the Vedic culture and all the various activities, and very nicely situated in, you know, their aspects of sadhana and all these different things, worshipping Vishnu and, you know, like this. You do have them. There's, you know, many millions of such families you'll find in India. Just situated in goodness. No pure goodness, no devotion to the Lord in actuality. But they follow everything nicely. Right? So generally, they're able to avoid these problems. But when you drop down into passion and ignorance, then the problems come up. Then you have to be very, very careful. But the difficulty comes is, what are you careful with? What are your tools? Right? Because only the mode of goodness can actually cure the problem. Because you're talking about performance of duties, properly situated, situated in goodness, performance of the actual what should be done and not be done according to what is your position. So then that comes up is that if you don't have inherently the mode of goodness, it won't really work very well for you. Right? Because we see in the modern context this kind of attitude and all that, it's not seen as a fault. It's just seen as opportunity. Right? The women have opportunity, they can move from men to men, and men have the opportunity because then they can bump into newer and newer ladies. So it's just seen as opportunity because of the modes of passion and ignorance. So then, if we want to stop this cycle, then one has to cultivate goodness. Someone from an inherent nature of passion, ignorance, you can't cultivate that goodness. You don't have it. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like... Yeah. So, therefore, the only solution is that you solve the overall problem, which is Krishna consciousness. So, by trying to be Krishna conscious, by trying to see everything in connection with Krishna, without this desire for material gain, material position, giving those up and trying to serve Krishna, then one comes to the transcendental platform. And naturally, as a side benefit, then the cultural aspects come along with it. Right? One requires that faith. That devotional service is actually what's going to solve all the problems. It has to be very clear. Lord Chaitanya makes this point very clearly that vishvasa, or faith, means that you understand that nothing else will benefit the soul except Krishna consciousness. Absolutely nothing else. Right? In this connection, there's no ifs, no ands, and no buts. It's just the way it is. That faith, that will remove all anarthas. So what we're talking about here is some anarthas. That's the only thing that will remove anarthas. That faith. So that faith in the association of devotees, you're chanting, that will remove all anarthas. Otherwise, as long as you think something else is going to benefit, that's going to maintain an upadhi, or a false identity, and false impressions. And then one won't get beyond that position. One won't become stable in devotional service. By not being stable, then one's not going to get a taste. If no taste, there's no attachment, no attachment, no ecstasy, no prema. So all you have left is the whatever little bit of misery you can squeeze out of your upadhi. Right? You'll get some emotion from that, yeah, definitely. But just, yeah. Does that make sense? But that's all you get. So, here then, that's the only real solution. That's why we're seeing here in 9th canto. We're preparing for 10th. So, that means we have to understand is the only thing is Krishna consciousness is going to work. Nothing else is going to work. That's the only solution. We may try to come up with all these different cultural aspects and this and that. And they're very good. They're very important. Prabhupada talks about them. The acharyas, the scriptures, they're all there. But they're talked about in connection with devotional service. Otherwise, Prahlad Maharaj says, okay, you're a nice guy, but if it's not connected to Krishna, it's a waste of time. Right? So as far as the soul goes, there's no benefit. Because to this lifetime you're nice, next lifetime you can't guarantee that. You can't even guarantee you'll be nice later in this life. Right? You know, how often do we hear the term wonderful, sweet old man? Right? But let's say grumpy old man? Right? So that's the whole point, is that the living entity who's interested in sense gratification, interested in position, then all there is left for you is grumpiness, because as time goes, things don't work out so great. Right? Despite all the promises, despite all the advertising, like that, it just doesn't work out. So, therefore, then one has to take up this position of appreciating that it's surrender to Krishna. That's what's going to make things work. That's what's going to be dynamic. Now, in this, it's not that it's not applied. Right? Abhideya means you apply the knowledge. Right? But the Abhida Shakti means that words have some meaning. Why do they have meaning? Because of the Lord's Abhida Shakti. Right? So the words here, then they mean. These are what it means here, it's direct. So these words are to be taken directly. That potency is the Lord's. So applying that is called Abhida Shakti. From that is called Abhideya. Right? That's the application. But the scriptures say is Abhideya is meant for knowing the Lord, serving the Lord, pleasing the Lord. So that means one has to apply this in connection with pleasing the Lord. Not that this is pleasing to the Lord. These are situations that the Lord prefers. But the pleasing the Lord is only devotion. Right? You have a wonderful Varnashram society. Everyone's doing their duties and everything nicely. Perfect. But if it's not done to please the Lord, it's a waste of time. A nice waste of time, great waste of time, very profitable waste of time, but a waste of time. Because for the soul, unless it's connected to Krishna, they'll get no benefit. So one has to appreciate that. That application of this has to be in connection with how it pleases Krishna. Not focusing on this. Focusing on pleasing Krishna. Does that make sense? It's a switch in the perspective. Right? So, it's just like, let's say someone is sick, right, in a diseased position. So, you're trying to make them healthy. What do you start with? Where does the diet start? From a healthy position or from a sick position? Right. But what's the point of that diet? To bring you to the healthy. Right? So just as a healthy person doesn't eat a sick person doesn't eat a healthy person's diet. Right? So this means that Krishna has given a system where the disease of the living entity is that they look at everything externally. Everything according to the secondary. Right? That it's all about the situation. It's all about the arrangements. It's all about the results gained from those arrangements in that situation. My knowledge, my skill are applied, I get results, and Hari Bol. And that's as far as we see. That is the material disease. Right? So, what's missing here? It's not connected to Krishna. In the spiritual world, they're going to look at things on how to please Krishna. This situation, we could please Krishna. Right? Just look at like Krishna. He goes out in the evening. It's a full moon night. And he thinks, this is a perfect night for interacting with the gopis. Right? They have that desire to interact with him. Right, that so many varieties of gopis. Then they want to dance with Krishna. The younger gopis have done the Katyayana Vrata. You know, ask that Krishna become their husband. So this is an opportunity to arrange all these things. So what is it about? It's interaction with the devotees. It's not, oh, hey, let's go out and enjoy this full moon night. You'll never see that mentioned. Right? Krishna and Balaram, they walk and they go, how nicely all the forest is there, how the forest is, you know, giving fruits and flowers and so many wonderful arrangements that the Vrindavan forest is making for the pleasure of the Lord. But they're talking about those arrangements by the mood. The arrangements are there. The arrangements are a symptom. You understand? So in other words, healthy condition is seeing the relationship with Krishna, the pleasure of Krishna. That's healthy. Seeing the external situation and how that's great, that's the disease. It's that simple. It's about Krishna. That's the natural position. It's not about Krishna. That's the conditioned position. That's why conditioning is called anadi. It's there before you come to the material world. Your material consciousness, you had it in the spiritual world before you came here. That's why it's called anadi. Because if you got it here, you can give it time. Right? Means astrologers can tell you exactly when Kali Yuga started. The day, the time of the day, everything. They can write down to the second. They can tell you. You want to know when Satya Yuga started. You want to know when the day of Brahma. They can calculate it. Right? So that can be calculated. So anadi means it's not calculated because it's before. So what does that mean? One is there in the spiritual world. But instead of looking at things connected to Krishna, how to please Krishna, we're looking at it, wow, this is a nice situation. I could enjoy this. You're already materially conditioned. You may have a spiritual body, but you're materially conditioned. And so therefore, you're not taking advantage of the spiritual body. You won't really like to be there because somehow or another, everybody there in the spiritual world is doing everything about Krishna. You know, real annoyance, right? So therefore, then you're transferred to the material world. Does that make sense? So, therefore, that's the disease condition, looking at the secondary. So now, back to our medical example. Krishna is so kind in the scriptures, and the acharyas so kind, they show how, in that disease condition, you can take whatever is important to you on the secondary, external, material platform, and connect it to Krishna. And because it's connected to Krishna, you become purified. So whatever is there, whatever you identify with, one's house, one's money, one's family, one's position, one's abilities, one's knowledge, one's skills, one's results, whatever it is, the long list of there. You can take those and connect to Krishna, you become purified. But what you're becoming purified is the forgetfulness of Krishna. Right? Always remember, never forget. But it's only by the devotional aspect, trying to please Krishna, that the always remember is cultivated. Right? If we get rid of never forget Krishna, then we're in the neutral state. What about the positive? Then it's about cultivating a relationship with Krishna. That in the association of devotees, we do things connected to Krishna for his pleasure. That brings us then to this advanced position. Then coming to that position where it's about Krishna, that's sarva dharmam parityaja. Mam ekam. It's about Krishna. Then we see the situation. Arjuna wants to please Krishna. Then how to do that? As a kshatriya and in the situation they're in, he can fight on the battlefield. But he's not starting with. That's what he does at the beginning of Gita. He's a kshatriya. He's got to do this. He's got to do that. He's a great guy and so many things and flexing his muscles and all this kind of stuff. And then Krishna points out, okay, that's nice, but basically you're a fool, right? You may be a big kshatriya fool hero, bigger and better fool than anybody else, right? You know, don't mess with this fool, you know, kind of guy. But the point is he still does not know about spiritual knowledge. Then he learns how to, through karma, yoga, jnana yoga, all these things, how to connect all that to Krishna. Then he learns about Krishna, then about the fine points. But in the end, Krishna says, but actually it's just about pleasing him. You want to please him, then you go back the other way. We start our position, I am this, I am that, I have to engage like this, without this, I'm not a... So many things like that. Then you take that, connect it to Krishna. And as you become purified, you're supposed to give it up. Right? That's how you progress. If you're walking up the stairs, right, you have 2 feet on one stair, right? Then you pick up your foot, right? According to this verse, pick up the right foot, right? So then you're picking up the right foot, you're putting it on the next step. Okay, you're on the next step. Great. Okay, so now we can start all the accolades and this and that and the cheering and the ticker tape and, you know, the whole thing, right? But are we actually on that next step till we pick up the foot on the lower step? Until you do that, you can't say I'm on that step, right? Then when you're on that step, you get solid there. Then being that, then you start the next step. That's how we progress in Krishna consciousness. That's why we hear these things. We may be doing these things. We connect these things to Krishna. Then having connected it to Krishna, at some point as we get purified, we have to give it up. We have to give up the upadis. We have to give up the endeavor for trying to enjoy things separate from Krishna. Even if it's connected to Krishna. But still, it's a lower stage. One has to move forward. So one has to appreciate that devotional service is dynamic. So it's always moving forward. So it's giving something for everybody. So according to our position, we don't practice something higher than our position. We practice our position. But as we become purified from practicing that position, we have to be willing to give up the anartas and the upadis and all these attachments that go with that position we're in at present. Right? That doesn't mean that we don't work with it, but we work without attachment. Right? Let's say like you have someone like a treasure. He's working with money. Now, how is he going to work best with money? If he's attached to the specific money he's working with, or he's not attached? Right? Because there's this always idea, oh, but if we're not attached, no one's going to do the work and that. Yes, that's the mundane concept. The only reason a mundaner does anything is because of attachment. No attachment, they don't deal. But we see the higher principle is you're doing it of duty. The treasurer works with the money, or the bank, you know, the bank teller, whatever it is. They're handling money. It's not their money. They're not attached. They deal with it really well. But if they're attached to the money, that's where the problem starts. Right? But since you have to be attached to something, you start with whatever you're attached to. But at some point, you have to give up that attachment, be able to work with it without attachment. It's a higher principle. But unfortunately, that principle can only be understood from the mode of goodness. We can't understand what the mode of goodness is from passion and ignorance. Passion and ignorance does not like the mode of goodness. It just doesn't. Right? Specifically ignorance. Passion is some tolerance. Right? Because you know, good work gets good things, you know. I work good, I get good money. Right? But ignorance is, I'm going to win the lottery. I do no work and I'm going to get millions of dollars. That's the mode of ignorance. So, the difficulty comes up is that we have to be willing, that's why this knowledge is given. It's not given to harass us. It's given so we know what we're dealing with. Right? The living entity is a transcendental entity. So unless Shastra says what goes on, how will you know? Right? I buy something I don't know about. How do you know what goes on? You read the box or the manual or whatever it is that you do these days. Right? That's how you know. So the scriptures say what you're dealing with. Right? Does that make sense? Like if you don't tell a kid that if you let go of that and it falls on the ground, it breaks, they don't know. And if they do, they just tell their parent, fix it. Right? And then you're supposed to immediately on the spot fix it, and then they can drop it again and do that all day. You know, for the next 2 weeks until they get bored of that one and move on to the next thing. Right? You understand? So this thing, unless you're trained, unless you know, you won't know, so you have to know the knowledge. You have to be shown. Without this knowledge, how will you move forward to the next step? So now at this point, we engage this position, then we move it forward, and then we give up the position. But the principle of serving Krishna, of engaging the pure state of that nature in Krishna's service, even though it's conditioned nature, but what's the natural form, then we can move forward. Does that make sense? So we have to be very, very careful to know that, yes, the disease position means we have these mentalities. Then we connect to Krishna. And as we get purified, then we move beyond. But we're supposed to move beyond to full surrender to Krishna. Right? That's what we're trying to. Prema is the goal. Not dhanam, janam, sundarim, kavitam. That's not the goal. In case anybody was making a mistake. Right? You know, like that. It's not what we're trying to get. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Is then if you become steady by giving up the desire for sense gratification, the desire for position, that doesn't mean a specific sense gratification or a specific position. It means the concept of it. Right? The difficulty comes, we want to control the senses, but we're trying to give up the specific attachment of the senses. That's where we start. Right? But you're actually trying to get to the position where you're giving up the concept of sense gratification. Not that it comes up and no, you know, it just doesn't come up because you don't see the opportunity. Same with position, right? Because control and enjoying, it goes both. So that position, that control, that authority, all those things have to be, it's the security, right? Because the event, as the Madhyam position is Krishna is my maintainer, Krishna is my protector. He's taking care. Otherwise we think I'm doing it. I've made all these arrangements, so I'm secure. Somehow or another, you know, they may work, but, you know, we have history where it doesn't work. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, so then in connection also with today's position, then you have the two aspects. This one is that this giving up of material desire and all that, that's by the grace of Nityananda Prabhu. That we give up material, that desire to enjoy and control materially, that's by his grace. To give up the identity that this is who I am and all that, that's by the grace of Advaita Acharya. Then by that mercy you can get Nityananda Prabhu's. So when one is willing to give up, I'm the controller and enjoyer, then one can get Nityananda Prabhu's, that to give up whatever's connected with that control and enjoy. Then one can be nicely engaged in Lord Chaitanya's service. Right? Because it has to be appreciated that Krishna, means as he expands, everything's him. So all his expansions are him. And especially then when he expands as the Vishnu Tattva. And they have all these, you know, wonderful qualities and all that. But Krishna himself has these four unique qualities that his other expansions don't have. And so all these expansions, these Vishnu, they all have the mood of service to Krishna. That's the unique feature. That's why you see Balaram's called the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. He's not different from Krishna, but there's one element he feels he's a servant of Krishna. So therefore, Nityananda Prabhu and his service to Krishna is trying to make wonderful arrangements. What are these wonderful arrangements? That the living entities have given up the material concept and are just focused on serving Lord Chaitanya. Right? So that one can gain his mercy by this aspect. And then Varahadeva we see is that whatever it is, the by the demoniac arrangements and all that, then the proper situation becomes adjusted, right? The Bhumi is known as Punya Bhumi. This is the place of
of piety. This is the place of performing activities that can elevate you. All other places in the universe are just for, you know, spending your pious credits or, you know, burning off your impious debt, you know, depending on where you are. You know, it's just like you're in the heavenly planets, but you happen to be an elephant. But you're the king of the elephants, but, you know, but you get attacked by a crocodile. You know, like this. So it's just, there's a bit of a mix. So, yes, Gajendra was on the heavenly planets. He was a king, but he was an elephant. Yeah. So it happens. Right? Yes. So then we see is that by the grace of the Lord only, because otherwise the earth has fallen from its position, no one can fix it. Only Krishna can fix it. So he comes as Varaha. Because if somebody's fallen into the dirty place, then the boar comes. They're really good at digging things up. You know, funky, stinky things, you know, like truffles and stuff like that. You know, they're good at digging them up. So they can lift things up. So he comes and picks up the earth from an impure place and places it back in its position. And in that, there's obstacles, all that. By the grace of the Lord, those are removed. So by the grace of Varaha Dev, then whatever is the condition of the soul, whatever position we fall into, then by his grace, one can cross over that. He can lift us up. He can remove those impurities or remove us from that impure situation. We don't care if they're removed, because they're going to be there still in the universe. We shouldn't be in them. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like there's a Calcutta public toilet. It's not that you have to get rid of the toilet and blow it up or something like that, you know, dramatic and some Hollywood thing. You just have to not be in it, that's all. Right? Leave it for the others who like to use it, right? You know. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, okay. So any questions or comments? Or not about the Calcutta toilet, though. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for today's class, very nice class.
Okay.
But what according to me is concerned.
As in Vedanta Sutra says, two.
Now Prabhu, I have one small question.
You have a?
One question is there.
A smart question.
A small question.
You got it off your phone?
Yes, yes,
or?
Yes. No.
Small.
Small.
Oh, I thought
question.
You said smart. Yes. Okay.
Maharaj, according to Bhagavad Gita, we are noting that we are only spiritual souls.
We're spiritual souls, yes.
So therefore, the pains are only meant for the external, it's not for the bodies. We have to suffer in some cases, you know, when we are getting some diseases and everything.
Yeah, but that's happening with the body.
That's happening. See, when we feel that we are not the bodies, we are the spiritual souls.
Right.
So then the sufferings are coming, you know. Then how we can supersede or something there and to concentrate and to go to the elevated, the goodness, mode of goodness.
Okay, so we want to get to the mode of, means the body is suffering because of disease or whatever, and you want to, because of the identification, you want to move to the mode of goodness so that that suffering will go away.
Huh.
But why do you want the suffering to go away? Okay, we'll get back to you. Okay. So, anyone else? You understand? See, the problem is here is you're thinking that the mode of goodness is the solution. It's devotional service is the solution. So it's not enough. It's the position we work from. But mode of goodness is only valuable because of its position of it's the best way to situate yourself to serve Krishna. In other words, from goodness to pure goodness is quite easy. From passion and ignorance to pure goodness is very difficult. Right? You know, unless you like roller coaster rides and like vomiting and stuff, you know, like that. So the point is it's the Vedas then recommend that, because that lifestyle that would be reflected here is the mode of goodness. That's the lifestyle they follow in the spiritual world. Right? But they do it for Krishna, so it's just pure goodness. Then it comes here, you remove the pure part, it's just goodness. And then you go down from there. Right? So that's the whole point. So just to get yourself the goodness, what's the point? And if you're already not on goodness, unless you have that capacity, then your endeavors aren't going to really work very good. You can do it, but it may take you so many lifetimes. Right? So that's called the slow path. The quick path is that you engage in devotional service. So because you're cultivating pure goodness, goodness comes as a side effect. But we're not doing it to get rid of the material pains. If we are, then that's all that you'll get out of Krishna consciousness. Krishna will give you that, but you won't get Krishna. It's like that story of the lady who was carrying the bundle of sticks and then it fell off her head because it was so big, and she's calling out to Krishna and, "Oh, Krishna, please help me." So Krishna appeared. Right? She was so sincerely calling. And then she just asked Krishna, "Can you put this back on my head?" So he did, and then disappeared. So if all you want is the mode of goodness and no material pain, you can get it. But if you get rid of material pain, what's the next problem? Is the subtle pain. Okay, you can go to the heavenly planets, they got great bodies. You know, it's like whatever they got down here in the gyms and this and that, that's nothing. Up there, what they got, they don't even have to go to the gym, right? They save on time, save on money. They don't have to sweat, you know, like that. You know, they don't have to buy all kinds of weird clothes. You know, it's a win, right? You know, but the problem is that they have this nice situation, the goodness, but they're envious of everybody else who's got more than them. This guy did one Soma Yagya, he's in the heavenly planets, but this other guy did three. Look at his palace, look at his facility. So your subtle pain will be there. And you go to Brahmaloka, there's no grosser, but you'll feel bad because everybody else is suffering. You're okay. So material world means suffering. So just setting your sights on just the mode of goodness isn't enough. You can get it, but for the same work, you can get Krishna. Why you wouldn't do that? So you don't worry about it. Point is if you're suffering, it's because of our past misdeeds. So, you know, who else is supposed to suffer? Right? But if we remember Krishna, then we're not bothered. That's the main thing, remembering Krishna. Is that okay? Okay. So I have something else? Just send the mic that way.
Thank you for a very nice class, Maharaj. My question is related to a remark you made at the beginning of class, which is about how when you're not liberated, your situation, that your advancement depends on your situation.
Right.
So, so my question is, given the verse and that realization, what would that practically look like in terms of an actual society? What would be the main features? What would be their distinguishing features?
So distinguishing features for a society based on that means that they're involved in Krishna conscious activities. In other words, you have two aspects. You have direct activities and you have indirect. Direct means there's no distinction between the cause and effect. Like you're chanting the holy name, it is Krishna. The effect is you're directly with Krishna, right? The example is given of you take your morning bath. That's indirect. Because by taking the bath, the direct effect is that the health of the body, the freshness of the body. Now from that freshness, you could go to the temple, you could go to the disco. You know? So there's a lot of things that could happen in between that bath and whatever else you do. You understand? So now in the beginning, we're going to take and connect the direct activities to Krishna. You know, they are connected, but we're going to be aware of them, focus on them. You know, so therefore, we Prabhupada gave us this very strong morning-evening program. So the whole thing is just direct activities. It's only, all you're doing from you know, basically when you come into the temple until one leaves, is direct activities of the five main activities. Centered around deity worship, right? Because it gives it a structure. So that's there. Now, many times the mistake is made that, okay, that's devotional service. Then when we leave the temple, now we're getting down to reality and, you know, real life and being practical and there's a long list of how you say euphemisms to what do you call it? Where you justify your mundane position. Rationalize, yeah, exactly. Good word. So you rationalize like that. But we see is that when the gopis are feeling separation from Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan, then Krishna's solution to that is the philosophy of he's everything. Everything's in him and he's in everything. That's the solution. Right? So we may not make the connection. Well, oh, that's his philosophy. But the point is that if it's all Krishna, you can see Krishna anywhere at any time with anything. Because it's all Krishna's energies. And the functioning of it is Krishna's potencies. And the natural form of it, that's all the natural form of Krishna and his potencies interacting on the Brahman platform. Right? And then duties, and that'll be the Paramatma platform. Right? So that means it's indirect activities, but you can so easily connect to Krishna through the Brahman and Paramatma platforms. And then why are you doing that? Because you want to please Krishna as a person, so Bhagavan. So then it takes on the natural spiritual platform where the jnana and kriya shaktis, you know, all the arrangements in Vrindavan are all there to please Krishna, fulfill Krishna's desire, right? Krishna wants to dance with the gopis. Now that takes arrangement. So Yoga Maya is arranging that. That's the kriya and jnana shaktis. They're taking care of the positions they're in, the knowledge they have, they're applying that knowledge, the situations and all that, right? Does that make sense? So that's all happening by the arrangement so that it can all be engaged in Krishna's service, right? We'll get to it. So then all these activities that we consider are outside Krishna consciousness, for someone who understands the philosophy, nothing's outside Krishna consciousness. That's why the Uttamadaka, it sees everything connected to Krishna, literally. Right? The neophyte, we can only see the direct activities. The Madhyama sees the direct activities, of course, and they're situated in that nicely, and they have faith in Krishna consciousness, and they can start to see through Jnana Yoga the connection to Krishna. How much realization they have, that will depend upon their position and all this and that, but as they develop taste and all that, that's not as important, they're just absorbed. And so that will bring them to the Uttama stage. So if we understand that aspect, then there isn't anything that's not connected to Krishna. So that means then when we apply the Varnashram system, as is recommended by Prabhupada and the Acharyas and all the scriptures and Krishna and the 11th canto, right? Because we could say is, okay, Varnashram's on a lower level like that. You know, like in Gita, it starts off with that karma yoga. But then we see is the fine points of that Varnashram, those are given in the last chapters of Gita. How many people talk about those? How many practice those? And so then having heard 11th canto, now Krishna explains in Uddhava Gita, then all these details of how one is functioning on this transcendental platform, but you're in the material body, it's engaged. So if you can just ask as a Paramahamsa and not worry about it, you're like the Python sadhu or something, then great. But if you're functioning below that, either because of your realization or for preaching, then you just connect everything to Krishna. You see its connection. So then that means the Varnashram system is practiced, because it's the natural form of goodness that social interaction, economics, justice, you know, ethics, morality, all these things function. It's the structure of it. But it's not about the structure, it's what you do with it. Just like your car has a structure, but it's what you do with the car that makes it of value or not. Does that make sense? So we make the mistake of thinking it's the car that's important. No, it's what you do with the car that's important. Right? That's the disease. We think the car is important. It's not. It's what you do with the car makes it important. So when we see Varnashram, then in that connection, if it's a connection to Krishna, then it becomes useful. And as we see is that the lifestyle of the Paramahamsas within the Varnashram, what you see, they just keep those aspects that are useful in Krishna consciousness. Everything else is dropped.
Right? You know, now here's the fun part. 11th canto is explaining that after all this and all this technical philosophy. The fun part is if you look at it very carefully, that lifestyle that's explained by Krishna to Uddhava of the Paramahamsas is the Varnashram lifestyle Prabhupada gave us back in the 60s and 70s. Exact same lifestyle. It's not different. But because of looking at secondary, we always want to improve by secondary. And since we can improve in secondary, through the mode of goodness, which is required for Varnashram, so we try to improve the secondary based on the modes of passion and ignorance. Therefore, we look to the professional corporate world. But when it comes to professional is overrated. Remember it said here in the purport about these women, they're professional? So we have to appreciate that we've already been given everything. When Prabhupada says he's given everything, he literally means it. And if you have that faith, you'll understand it. You don't have the faith, you'll never see it. Because Krishna consciousness is not by logic. It's by association. We logically hear the philosophy explained, but it's that acceptance of that in our heart that makes us able to practice. You can't practice something on the spiritual platform unless you accept it. Even on the material platform, you don't accept that I'm going to ride a bicycle. You can't get yourself on a bicycle. Right? So the point, if we don't accept that this culture has been given to us by Prabhupada, he's given us this Varnashram system, we accept it. Now how to apply it? Then only we can apply it. But if we don't accept that it's what we want to apply, you'll never understand it. Right? When you accept, that's when you understand. You begin to understand. Then you start to practice it. That's when the good understanding, solid understanding, you become fixed. Then from that being regular, then you get realization. It's an educational process. This is how education works. You ask questions, you remove the doubts, but then you have to accept it. If you don't accept it, you'll never understand. It doesn't matter how smart you are. The scripture says that again and again and again. You can be the greatest scholar. You can be Brihaspati, but if you don't accept it, you'll never understand it. Because it's Krishna. If you can't tie a rope around Krishna, why would we be able to bend our mind around Krishna? We're so intelligent. I'll catch Krishna with my intelligence. The point is karma and jnana can't catch Krishna. So he reveals himself. Does that make sense? So we've already been given the system. We just have to apply it. So the amount of Varnashram we have to apply is only how much is working in Krishna consciousness. So we've been given the system from the top down. We've been given the Paramahamsa system of Varnashram. That we can apply. If we're coming from backgrounds where we weren't smart to Brahmins or, you know, Iyers or Iyengars and all that, then this system we can use. Because if we want to use just a straight up front, you know, regular Varnashram, we don't have the qualifications. We are so fallen. There's no question you can follow Varnashram. No question. Does that make sense? It just won't happen. The guy can't add two and two. Can he become a nuclear physicist? Never. But by the grace of Krishna, mukam karoti vachalam pangulam gayate girim. Right? Then we can cross over this because we're dealing in pure goodness. Then the amount of goodness necessary for us to situate ourselves in Krishna consciousness and that amount of thing we can do. So that's the thing. We've been given the highest. This has never been given before. Everybody else has to slog it through the Varnashram system for thousands of lifetimes to get themselves up to the brahminical position, and then so many lifetimes and like this. Lord Chaitanya explains this. And then out of those, how many get liberated? And out of those, then how many actually function on that? And of those, how many, thousands of those, not even one becomes a devotee? So we're already practicing devotional service, having that faith. That means we've already done all that in the past. So therefore, we follow this Paramahamsa system of Varnashram. Narad Muni explains it in 7th Canto. 5 chapters on Varnashram. But mostly, generally, we'll only identify 2 as Varnashram. 3 of them we won't count as Varnashram.
Because one of them is on the position of the Paramahamsa and all that. But it's all Varnashram. The point is Varnashram is to situate you in just pure devotional service. That's its only purpose. If we look at it as economics and all these kind of things, yeah, we can, but we don't have the qualification. That make sense? You know, it's just like on the material platform. What job can you get? It's the one that you materially qualify for. Right? But in devotional service, you see devotees do things way beyond that. Way beyond. Right? You know, his devotees go off on their own. I think it was Shivananda. Went off on his own, right? He would have been a kid, late teens or early 20s. Goes off to Europe, starts the whole yatra there. Alone. And you see, all these devotees, they went around alone and did things. Where does that... It says, Lord Chaitanya says that the devotee gets unlimited power. Because it's Krishna's power. But if we're going to do it on our own, forget it. It's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen. It's not going to change. So that's why we have to be very, very careful, is that we use these external techniques, but we have to know we're not the body. But we have to understand the body is the body. That's clear. You know, you're a big, strong guy. You're not the body, but your body is the body. It can pick up that table. And some guy doesn't have such a strong body. He's not the body. It doesn't mean he can go and pick up the table. So the whole point is that's the actual point. I'm not the body. Therefore, I'm not looking for the material gain. I'm not looking for the dunam janam sundarim that's coming from this body. Therefore, I will engage this body according to what it is. Rather than, oh, we're not the body, we just do anything. Yeah, well, you know, we're not the body. Why don't we fly? Birds are flying. They're not the body, and they're flying. Why can't I fly? What's his name? What's it? Francis of Assisi. You know, he was into that. Didn't work out so good, but hey, you know. You understand? So that's the whole point is that we're looking at Varnashram from down, from the place of Malechas and Yavanas. You have to use some strong binoculars and look straight up. You know, those big, nice, big back ones like that, you know, the big fat ones, you know, like that. Look straight up. Then you start to get a hint of it. I see some mist. But we're engaged in these things, so therefore I have mundane knowledge, mundane degrees, mundane jobs. I get, you know, my money. I get all, do that. But know that that's your conditioning. That's not you. And then connect that to Krishna. You get purified. And then when the heart becomes purified enough where you can give up that identity, you give it up. And then if it's the situation is comfortable, the family's there, what we're in, it works nicely, I can do so many things and give some money to the temple and all these things, I continue in the position. I don't have to give up the position. Because of this external view, we take it that giving up means nothing. But that's coming from Buddhism. It's not coming from Vaishnavism. The Vedic culture is you can have everything and not be attached to it. Yudhishthira Maharaj wasn't attached. The only value to him of being a king is that because he's a king, then his position and his relationship to Krishna will come and visit. Right? He can create a nice situation in the kingdom where everybody can be Krishna conscious. That's the value for him. It's not, I'm a king and I'm this and that. And hey, that's Duryodhana's. That's why Duryodhana wants it. And Yudhishthira was a fabulous king. So this idea is that if you're unattached, you can't do anything. This is a mundane concept. I mean, totally mundane. Not even, oh, but it's, you know, but in, no, it's just mundane. You can connect it to Krishna, but you're connecting something mundane to Krishna. That's what makes it purified. But you don't connect it, it's not connected. It's not. I chant, whether I'm conscious or not, I'm connected with Krishna. But let's say I'm just cooking. I remember Krishna, it's connected. I don't remember, it's not connected. I'm cooking for the deities, it's connected, because somebody else will offer it.
You understand? I'm doing my job. I'm making my money. You think of it connected to Krishna. It is connected. You don't. It's not. That's the difference between direct and indirect. Like here in the Dham. You're in the Dham. Whether you're Krishna conscious or not, you're getting the benefit of being in the Dham. But now let's say we're not in the Dham. We're in the temple. We're getting the benefit. We're in the temple. But as soon as we walk out the front door, you're in the material world. But here you walk out of the temple and all that, you're still in the spiritual world. That's the advantage. Does that make sense? Is that okay?
Yeah. Very, very nice exposition, Maharaj.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you. Okay, last point. What is it? Yes?
In the Dham, when I go out from this temple, I have to go see my wife who is in a bed because she's very sick.
Right.
And I'm trying to get doctors. But I go all around and they send me to a hospital, Mayapur hospital. I went there.
Okay, no, here, just one question. Is this a question for the Bhagavatam class,
yeah,
or is this a question for the local managers?
It sounds like, to me, it's a question of what is practical in this Dham or spiritual material world. You're saying that we depend on Krishna.
Yes, we depend on Krishna and we make the endeavor, the results up to Krishna. So when that result will come, then we have to see. You know, it's just like sometimes you have a devotee, they're sick. They spend 20 years going to different doctors, different things, and nothing's working, trying different regimes and all that. Nothing works. And then one day they try something and it works. So what does it mean? It just means that amount of time for that amount of purification is up, and so it'll work. It means they could have started anywhere on anything. Let's say they try 10 different types of medicine. They could have started in any one of them, gone in, and at the end, when the time's up, they could have been any one of them. You know, that's why you say, oh, no, but I took this and the homeopath, that worked, and that's the thing. No, it could have been anything. It's just that even if you didn't take medicine, if the karma's up, it's over. Right? So the point is we do our duties, like yourself, as a householder, you do your duty to try to take care of the family and make everything nice, but the result's up to Krishna. So you keep making your endeavor and trying to find out what are the best ways and best situations. And in that way, you can be Krishna conscious. Otherwise, if you simply look at it as just only practical, then the problem is then we won't get any inspiration. Okay? Sorry. No, we'll end here. We're already over the time. Sorry. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandini.